Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 318, part 2, the conclusion to Patience, part 2. Today is Sunday, November 17th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
I wonder what would happen if we took all of the people off of the hobo bus, or just drove the hobo bus up there and parked it at four or five Sundays in a row out to suburbia and take them in out there, and then we'd come in and we, can we do a song for you folks? We're the hobo choir. And we'd all get up there, you know, and we'd do the hobo choir. Okay, and then I would lead it, because I like to get in on irritations. That's just my nature. I'm sorry, praise God. I mean, I'm sorry, Lord. Right? And then have another program. Can we do another program? Oh, yeah. We got a bag lady. Oh, she'll just knock them out of their seats. And we're going to bring our senior citizens down there, and we're going to have a... Could we do a fashion show? How long do you think we'd be out there before they start supporting us? Give them anything, just get them out of here. Well, the thought has come to me. Especially when I get the bills in the mail. Especially when I go to churches and there's like 3,000 members and they say, Pastor, here's a little something for you. And I look in the envelope, I try to, you know, I'm getting out of there, I'm all excited, so praise God, maybe there's some money in this thing, we can get our bills paid and everything, and I crinkle it open, I try not to let anybody see me, I check back and forth the cars and the rear view mirror and everything, you know, and check it and pull it up, and there's $50. And there's 3,000 members. Oh, God, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But don't despise small beginnings. I mean, that's almost non-existent, but I mean... that's like tipping God. That's like throwing a dog a bone with no meat on it. Are you hearing this? And so Jesus, it says, came after the sick. How many know there is a job to do right now in our country and worldwide? There are a lot of sick people out there that need to hear the organized gospel of Jesus Christ. But he came not only after religious people, but he came after the world. He had faith in the outcasts. The religious leaders of the day called them dead causes. Doomed, they said. But do you think he would share that attitude? Oh, no way. He came, he said, to make you whole. We are trusted then by the Lord. He has faith in us. Don't you have faith in your children? You send them off to school, you might be a little nervous about it. God knows my parents were nervous every time I left the house. There he goes. Well, made it last night. We didn't get any calls from the police. That was a blessing. No, I came to make you whole. And so we have to share in the great faith of Jesus Christ, don't we? He didn't need a reason to love people. Let's see. What's a good reason for loving you? We have to have reasons for loving people. Give me a reason for loving. I was singing a song the other night about my, sometimes I think, plight. Most times I think blessing. I was 55 yesterday. When I was 55, it was a very good year for taking the knocks with taters on my back. It was a very good year. See, if you don't have a sense of humor, you don't have anything. If you can't trust in the Lord, you don't have anything. Oh, it is so worth it. But Eliphaz, as he seeks to comfort his bewildered friend, do you think Job by now is bewildered? Bothered and bewildered, huh? Do you think he is? Wouldn't you be bewildered if you had everything and you lost everything? You lost your family, you lost your home, you lost your wealth, you lost all of your friends, you lost faith in God. You were just a mass sitting there. A mass of owies. I wonder how many people in the United States feel just like that right now, this morning. Or how many young people feel just that way? And then his friend comes and he says like this, "For affliction does not come from the dust." I mean, what are you trying to tell me? "Nor does trouble sprout from the ground." Now, isn't that wisdom? Has to come from someplace. He's saying, the only place it could come is created by God. And so now we have Eliphaz, and he comes up with a reason. Now, we can often, I know this is to be true, we can often explain the sufferings of others better than we can our own. "Well, the reason you went through that. Now, have you learned a lesson? Have you? I mean, didn't I tell you this was going to happen? I mean, have you learned? Will you ever learn?" You ever been around somebody like that? They don't know the circumstance. They don't know whatever went on. They don't know, what happened. I had a friend that hitchhiked, and he was kind of in trouble, in and out of trouble all the time. And he came back, and it wasn't his fault. He had hitchhiked, and he got picked up by some guy, and the guy did a robbery, and it was a terrible mess. But do you think he could explain to anybody? That's why it happened. How many times have we told you? It's the people you hang with. I just got it right. Sure, no, there are excuses. You always got some kind of an excuse. And he could not convince people of this. And finally, the man that gave him the ride, after hearing all of these complaints against this guy, he hated people. He says, you're all liars. But Eliphaz here comes up with a reason. When someone's sick, we sometimes think, I wish my sickness was just imaginary like theirs. But anyway, now listen to Eliphaz comfort Job. You see right now, you're reaping what you sowed. Don't you just hate that when somebody told you, huh? This is it, cries Eliphaz, because affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble sprout from the ground, just like I said. What a bedside manner, huh? And I suppose he's saying it loud enough so everybody can hear his great wisdom. When we're reprimanding someone, we want to have an audience. Make sure everybody hears it. By tearing someone down, we build ourselves up. Isn't there a lot of that going on? Each pain, he's saying, each boil from the top of your head to the bottoms of your toes, the bottoms of your feet, represents some sin. Read them and weep, old buddy. Oh, it's hard to get into a hard place, isn't it? But anyway, now here lies Job, and he had suffered every loss that man could ever suffer. All of his wealth, all of his health, children gone. His confidence and understanding of friends, that's gone. He lost his capacity to serve. Oh, wow, when we lose our capacity to serve others, what a loss. He had lost his appreciation of people. And they had lost appreciation of him. He lost all of his personal worth and all of his dignity. Oh, that must be hard when someone goes in the skids and they get down, 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 and all. They say, how did I get? People ask people, how did that man get in this condition? I used to be a judge. How did he ever get that way? I'll tell you how he got that way. One step at a time. Just like he got to be the judge, and here come to judge, the same way, here go to judge. Down the stairs. Here go to judge. There go to judge. And what that judge needs, and there is one here in the cities. What that judge needs is not judging, but what he needs is an encouragement. And also a challenge to say, hey, come on now, let's turn this thing around here. You won't get where you were, and you don't want back there. But you'll have the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he had lost all of his faith in God. He had lost all of his patience. And he had learned one thing, that all good men don't always prosper. And that's a phony teaching that came about. God has caused the rain to fall on the good and the bad. And also that bad men can live rich and powerful lives. And then his friends declare this, God stores up their iniquity for their sons. Job answers them. Let them recompense it to themselves. But he never, and he nevertheless, Job is kind of confused. Wouldn't you be confused by now? God, what's going on? And your mind is whirling, and the sores are all over your body, and kids are throwing, you know, rotten eggs at you, and oh man, you're just a mess, and your head is, God, how am I going to get out of this thing? Oh, and the friends are, you know, giving him scripture and quoting scriptures. You ever been around somebody who quotes scripture? Thus saith the Lord. Maybe they come up and prophesy it over him. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, man, there's a lot of that going on, isn't there? People laying their hands on people. Huh? Thus saith the Lord. And you know what? There are so many prophets right now. That's why the Bible warns us that be careful in the end of false prophets, because there's so many of them. Everybody, they can, I appoint myself a prophet. And then how do you disprove it? Well, God told me this and God told me that. And people are afraid to tell them, oh, hogwash. God will speak to me. And then maybe you'll confirm what God has already told me, but you're not going to come and tell me to go to Africa or someplace. On your say-so, I'm supposed to uproot and march on Washington and whatever you want me to do. No, I don't believe it. Huh? But people are fearful, aren't they? Look at it in the government. People are so fearful because of the leading of the church and the condemning of people. Then the world took off. And then we have three would-be presidents. I smoked dope when I was 12 years old. I was in my mother's house. My brother was there. And I remember very distinctly. He had these very strange looking, I thought they were cigarettes, and I didn't even know what they were. And I'm very, very sorry. I did wrong. I made a mistake. Who cares? Who cares? So we got fear going, and everybody is confessing everything, huh? Leave that for the true confession magazines, them one-sided stories that somebody writes. How many know that's not a God? Bible says, forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. I don't want to hear every boring detail of people's past sins. How'd you like to have a videotape of your heart every time you think, oh, someone ought to kill that guy? And then you're smiling while you're saying it.
Praise the Lord.
And then the thought is, someone ought to wipe them off the face of the, oh, forgive me, God. Those thoughts are there. You're stuck with it. You're stuck with this body and this sin nature till the day you go. I mean, you can grit your teeth and get white knuckles and blood in your veins sticking out and red eyes trying to not sin. You know what you do? You sin all the more. Just relax and live your life. Serve God. It'll fall off. The scales will fall off if you just let them fall off instead of trying to hide them and binding them up with these little bicycle deals around your legs. Reveal yourself by just revealing Jesus Christ, and you could give God all the glory. Say, oh, I was in a mess and God took me out and I'm serving God. And that's the only testimony you have to give. We don't want to hear all of your, here's my garbage can, boy, was I ever nasty. Oh, I was more nasty than you were, boy. Huh? Who cares? And so I said he was confused, and I'll close it now. He thinks, is life a life of chance? And there's nobody to talk to, so he might as well talk to himself. No, it's not. What they said was true. We all times reap what we sow. And what they say, be sure your sin will find you out. But good men do suffer. He just has to talk to himself. The disciples in the Bible asked Jesus about the man born blind. Well, who sinned? This man or his parents? I mean, why is he like that? Of course, why are you like that? He didn't say that. No, he says, neither one. But he could have said, well, look at yourself. Who sinned? Did your parents sin? So you're such a mess as you are? No. But anyway, it's true, we do suffer for our sins. Don't we? But then that's between you and God, isn't it? There's always a consequence for a choice that you make, but there's always forgiveness in the thing too. And there's always a learning in the process also. But Eliphaz also thinks suffering comes because we live in, a dangerous world. Man, it says in the Bible, is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. You ever think that about yourself? Man, I got trouble. When is it ever going to stop? It's flying up like sparks flying towards the sky. I got trouble. We got trouble. Trouble right down here in River City. When is it ever going to stop? And this happens, and that happens, and this happens, and that happens. God, when is it ever going to end? Well, it'll end. You could drop dead today, any of you. That's the end. Now, that kind of changes people's thinkings. I don't want it to end today. But we flirt with danger, don't we? Yeah, we do sometimes. Getting drunk, I remember as a young man riding a motorcycle and getting home and not remembering how I got there. And the motorcycle was parked next to the garage door of my house. I was like 30 years old at that time. Should know better, right? Or even older, maybe 35, I don't know. A bike is parked there, and I don't know how I got my foot off this side of the bike. We flirt with danger sometimes, don't we? We're taking drugs. Or even now, stepping out. Hey, it's getting so you don't, you have to have a health report to kiss somebody. Do you believe it? I heard now they're going to raise group insurances 3 times over what it is right now. 3 times over what it is right now. I think sometimes opportunities are used just to raise things. But I also see that there is a certain amount of truth in that. I talked to a young man last week and he's stealing. Well, I just changed the... It isn't really stealing, I changed it. There's one over here on sale and I put the price tag on this and then... Sometimes we're hateful or we're gossipy. We cause things ourselves. We suffer from ignorance, overdoing, riding around on bald tires, not getting up in the morning, not maintaining a car, staying up late, taking friends for granted. That's dangerous. Oh, good old so-and-so. See, we suffer because we're in a world... And it makes wrong decisions. Someone in the family might make a wrong decision. Well, everybody suffers for that then. That's their privilege though, isn't it? Isn't it your privilege to suffer with someone when they make a mistake and stand up and be counted? That's what I was always taught. And they made a mistake. Okay, we're all going to stand up. I mean, in our family, it was really, Greek families, I think, are as much oriented towards that kind of thing, family thing anyway. And boy, don't let somebody else say anything against the family. Well, we'd knock each other out, my brother and myself. But don't let somebody else say anything. Or your mother, we always use their mom. Don't say nothing against my mom. Years ago, they always use your mom. You know what I mean? You call my mom a name? That kind of thing like that, see. But we were family-oriented. It's your privilege to suffer with someone. I'm sure in your family you suffer with one another. Sometimes we're crabby and you have to suffer with each other. You know what I mean? And you kind of build up. Oh, they're having a bad day or this. Unless it goes on and on for weeks and weeks and say, hey, this is the end of this. Now you have to suffer with me for a while because it's my turn to be mean. Right? Are you getting any of this message? I'm going to close it. And you can go out to Arby's and have your roast beef sandwich. And you can turn off the radio and you can get back to whatever you're doing. But I hope I made a point here today. Patience. It takes patience. You're going to have a little more patience. Right now you got another 5 minutes going here. Greek 5 minutes. I'm sure glad that people suffer through with me. Aren't you? Then we suffer because we want to carry one another's burdens, don't we? You ever carry someone's burden and you have to suffer for it? Boy, I was watching this fiasco they got going on TV, and I was really proud of Oral Roberts. It stood up and it was counted. And the glass cathedral people. I thought, well, that's pretty neat that they're saying something. See, if you don't say something for a person, you're just as guilty as a person that lambasts them. There's people that save people out of fires and they get burnt up themselves. And so we make decisions to suffer for others. I have decided to follow Jesus. It means you have decided to share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. You have decided to come down here to the north side. You have decided to send some money in off of the radio. You have decided to enter in on the sufferings. You have decided to meet the need. You have decided to make a commitment. And where would we be without suffering? What would we do? Be a bunch of chessy cats sitting around grinning at each other. How sickening. Oh, how we need to balance this issue and balance the books. So now closing this message, Eliphaz gives wise counsel. A bit smug, but I think true. As for me, he says, as for me, I would seek God. And to God I would commit my cause. Of course, he isn't in that situation, but what he says is true. No word, I thought, could be wiser than that. Bible says he will deliver you from six troubles. And then it goes on, in seven there shall be no evil touch you. In other words, he will give you complete deliverance. Sevenfold. But he is saying God will coddle and keep him. That's false. God does not purpose to save him from all of the furnaces of life. But you know what? He'll walk through the fire with you. The psalmist says after looking and looking back, it is good for me that I was afflicted. There's so many times in my life I look back and different things that happened in my life, and I say, well, it was good that that happened to me. I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't have the compassion I have today. I wouldn't have the understanding I have today. I just wouldn't be nothing. And I think all of us can look back at the ugly things that happened to us and say, praise God, all things are working together for good. Can't you? I think suffering many times is a blessing in disguise. Many times it's the only way God can get our attention is through suffering. Happy, it says in the Bible, and I'll back it up, is the man whom God reproves. Of course, some become bitter and some become hard and some become full of self-pity. But anyway, when we think of the choicest souls along life's highway, it's those people that have suffered. Looking back into the Bible, David suffered, and Paul, and Peter, and Samson, and Elijah, and all the prophets. Jesus Christ. Where would you be if Jesus Christ didn't suffer for you? I don't have all the answers today for pain. I know there's one verse I like to minister, is first the suffering and then the joy. Then there's another one, rejoice in your suffering. Well, I believe because it develops character, it develops understanding, it develops compassion, it develops love, it develops patience, it develops trusting, it develops caring. Let's learn to wait upon the Word. Because, you know, the Lord cares. He wants us to care for one another. Why don't we live then life according to his plan and just go on out into the world and minister the gospel unto all creation and be servants? You're not going to be happy. You know what I mean? Would you be happy sitting at home? No, I mean just sitting at home looking at the wall. Well, 8 more hours and Ron will be home. 6 more hours and 15 minutes and the kids will be here. Whoop-dee-doo. I mean, that's great, but I mean, whoop-dee-doo, is that all your life is going to be? Huh? Right? Wouldn't that be boring? Sue, wouldn't that be boring if you... 8 more hours, 2 more days, and Kent will be back from a flying mission. Huh? Right? Aren't you glad you're down here doing something? Mm-hmm. Instead of sitting home? Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Huh? Oh, that's right indeed. Huh? We all need to have something to do. We all need to share in the sufferings of Christ, and we all need to be busy doing the Lord's work. And that's the only way you're going to be happy, folks. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You just never made that commitment. You know how easy it is? It's confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and thou'll be saved. Period. Period. That's what it is. It's confessing before man Jesus is Lord and saying, I decided to get saved today. 30 seconds. Is there anyone in here that has never made that simple commitment? Anybody? How about you young people back there? Have you come to Christ? Okay. Okay. Have you come to Christ, honey? Okay. If you aren't sure, say, golly gee, I don't know. Well, if you haven't, all you have to say is, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I confess that. Come into my heart and save me. That's the simple gospel. We like to add little things to it. Back there, you people in the back row, are you both born again?
Absolutely.
Okay, and right over here, sister, are you born again?
Yeah,
just a minute. No, I know you are, sir. But let me answer. Let me catch this lady. I know, but I have to ask. How about you? Are you born again, sister? Okay, okay. But see, preachers have to ask. They have to ask. They have to ask. If I get to heaven and say, why didn't you ask that guy in the back row back there? And that lady is sitting next to him. They both weren't saved. What's wrong with you? No, you know, I mean, hey. Right? What good is a preacher who doesn't preach the gospel? He just gets up there and gives a flower, that message, you know, and he slicks his hair back and sprays it, and somebody bumped into him and break his hair. No. Lord, thank you for this audience that's here today. Thank you for the radio audience. Thank you, Lord, for the great message you've given us here on the north side that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's going to sing today? Rosemary, are you going to sing? No.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 318, part 2 of Patience, part 2. If you missed Patience, part 1, or any of Pastor Paul's messages, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also connect to the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage on that website, you're going to find links to the blog and the podcast. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1 and every Sunday for part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. And if you subscribe, you know we will come to you. Have a beautiful week and God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women.
man or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. It might be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.